The first person I'd like to invite up tonight is the Executive Director of the Pacific Southwest District. For short, we call it the PSWD. And I would like to invite up at this time Ken Brown. Ken, where are you?
Well, I'm glad that this doesn't have to make any sense. It's great to be with you for the celebration of John and his ministry. Although I have to admit, I did wonder why they asked me to go first. When I looked at that list, I'm not the oldest, probably not the youngest. I probably, from what we've heard already tonight, I've known John one the longest of the folks that are here, certainly longer than most of you in this congregation. And then when I looked at that list again, I said, you know, I'm glad I'm going first. I don't have to follow any of those wonderful people that are speaking later. My recollection is that I first knew about John about 40 years ago. It was at the General Assembly, the last time it was in New York City. And that was a time when ministers and search committees, particularly new ministers, spent time running around to interview and do all these sorts of interviews. And I was among those new ministers at that time looking for a congregation and was running around in what was called the meat market. It was pretty much all male back then, so it was probably appropriate. And I was interested in heading west from Massachusetts to California. And so my first connection to John was when he got a particular settlement in California, and I didn't. And so I ended up in New Hampshire. But I persisted, and 10 years later, my family and I moved to California, where John and I became strong colleagues and good friends. Another thought I had, though, as I looked at that list and the email that Marla sent out to us ahead of time about what was going to be happening, and that list of speakers and the suggestion that this might be over by 9 p.m., was the organizers did not tell us that that's 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. But then again, I thought, what can we all tell you about John that he hasn't already told you himself? Nice. There's probably some stories about, you know, back when we were ministers doing, but I don't dare go there because then they're about me too, and I don't want to tell those stories. But I got to stop trying to be humorous here, because with John sitting here, that's a losing cause anyway. And I want to get serious and share a couple things with you about John. We all know his wit, his wisdom, his wonderful preaching, and his writing. Yet, for me, John has always been a committed Unitarian Universalist. Despite his disagreements at times with our bureaucracy, and who among us has not had such disagreements, he has remained deeply caring about our faith and its importance in a world that is increasingly divided and pulling people apart, and be part of a tradition that at its core is about pulling people together and bringing people together. And John has done that wonderfully well throughout his ministry. And secondly, that John has been a wonderful colleague over the years. In fact, he was the National Good Offices Person for the Ministers Association. That is, each district has a group of ministers who are basically ministers to ministers. And John was the head of that group for a number of years. He's always been there to counsel and support colleagues, including me, over the years that we've known each other. So, John, thank you for your ministry over the years, and particularly with this particular group of people. We know this is really not a retirement party, since I cannot imagine you ever stopping being a minister, being who you are. But I thank you for your ministry and these folks in Fullerton. Thank you very much.
I'd next like to bring up Christina Garner, who is, amongst other things, she's on the worship committee, she's a choir member, she's a performer, she's a circus descendant, she's a neighbor, she's a friend. Where is she? Christina, please. Barnum and Bailey, bring it on up. Thank you.
Hi, folks. My name is Christina Garner, and Chris is referring to the fact that the great circus promoter P.T. Barnum was an ardent Universalist, and I'm one of his relatives. So tonight's the night to celebrate the happy journeys with John, and I've been enjoying John's company since my husband and I were married and we came here almost 20 years ago. And by the way, shout out or tribute to Dory Summers, who performed our wedding ceremony about, our daughter graduated from college this morning, so that would have been about 21 years ago. Ooh, that hurts. Well, professionally, I'm a chair of the World Language Department at Fullerton High School, so I look at things linguistically, and John is sort of John to us, but he's Reverend Dober in the larger world, and I first learned more about his name when I was asking him a question. Now, I'm exposed to Slavic languages lately. I've been singing in an East European women's chorus. So as an amateur linguist, I said, I know what your name means, John. I said, John, your name must mean good or kind, which is what Dober means in most of the East European languages. And he says, no, that it was a tradition of the Jews in Russia or Ukraine to give Hebrew names that sounded like the Slavic language that was nearby. In fact, his name means something like word or man of the word. Isn't that perfect? So I think we would all agree that one of John's great gifts is his use of words to muse, to conjecture, to critique, or to inspire us. And I would say that even though your name may not prove that it's your name that proves that you can be good and kind, your actions may also reveal your character. A decade ago, I experienced a time of constant pain and increasing disability, and I was very anxious when I found out that I would need spinal surgery. That seemed very frightening to me. John used his wit and wisdom to reassure me I was going to be in good hands. He said, after all, your surgeon is Dr. Schnitzer. Those were the tailors in the old village. He said, and indeed, that was true. But John also reassured my family by visiting them with them, holding vigil in the hospital, talking to me before my surgery, and helping keep us body and soul together until everything was good again. In the church setting, John and I have spent many years coordinating our backgrounds, which are very disparate. I'm Swedish, Midwestern. I didn't know anything about Jewish traditions. This was very new to me. So by working together side by side, we've learned to coordinate things. How do you make the lights of Hanukkah become also the beauty, join the beauty of the Santa Lucia crown? And we've coordinated and fused and grown with our traditions. We've exchanged challah and Swedish rye bread at our bread communions, exchanged flowers at Eastertide. So we've really enriched our concepts of ritual and tradition by working together. And most importantly, each week John is present to ask us this question. I think this is Yiddish. Was is wichtig? What is important? And to keep searching for that answer, and he challenges us to do that every week. So now I'm going to summarize my talk in Spanish. John es bueno. John es muy cómico. John es muy importante. Muchas gracias, John. So in Spanish, salud, pesetas y tiempo para disfrutarlos, which means good health, much money, and may you have the time to enjoy them both. Thank you, John.
Christina, and Reverend Ken, there wasn't much organization in this, so there is really, if you came first, you're first, and the next person is Doris, and Doris Dressler-Clark is who I would call Miss Enthusiasm in our congregation. I don't know what committee she's currently serving on, but I did buy a t-shirt from her recently. Very enthusiastic, and I'd be wearing it now, but this is a little bit more formal, so Doris, come on up.
John, you were my introduction to UUism. Like many others, I'd heard of Unitarians, Universalists. They must be a sect. But wasn't that out-of-my-mind article in the Fullerton Observer written by someone whose opinions I often agreed with. And wasn't he the same guy who was affiliated with a Unitarian Universalist church here in Fullerton? I had to find out what this was all about. So one Sunday I came to this church, and it wasn't all that long ago. That Sunday, and many other Sundays, you did not invoke passages from the Bible. You never uttered that big G word that I was accustomed to in the church, and you didn't claim to have any answer. Quite the contrary. You challenged me to think, to question my past assumptions, to draw new conclusions, and then you set a high bar for me to walk my talk. And each subsequent Sunday, you asked me to refine what my talk is. John, you're leaving this church after 21 years. Without you, this church may not have grown to the size that it is. Without you, this church may not have succeeded in being the liberal voice in North Orange County that it is. Without you, we might not be housed in this beautiful sanctuary to worship on Sundays. And without you, I and some of the people here would undoubtedly not have found this wonderful community that you helped in big part to create. And now, without you, we will continue to move forward, remembering your many, many years of driving the 405, the 10, the 5, the 91, speaking to our hearts, our souls, our intellect, and tickling our funny bones in a way no other minister ever will or can do. Thank you, John.
So we're going to play some music for you. I have some friends here, Gary, Wayne, and Skyler. I'm going to sing a song from John's formulative period. Thank you. something completely ordinary. Let's see. After we get together, this person, how can I introduce it? He's the person that brought John, I believe, in my assumption. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. What do I know? But I think that he brought John from Studio City, but I could be completely wrong. He's a really good pancake flipper once a year. He serves bar periodically. I think he has a PhD, I'm pretty sure. And I'm not sure the relative order of any of this is important. So, Al, come on up.
Everything that was said before me, I agree with. Thank you.
We're this close, man.
I figure if I had a script, I would wrinkle it up and throw it at you like I did once upon a time. And boy, did we have a lot of fun with that. More than 2 years ago, I met this young guy. Almost didn't hire him. And he told you part of that story early this evening. Sermons on death don't ring bells. But we stayed in touch over the year. My older brother lived up in Walnut Creek, went over and saw him at Haywood a few times, called me up and said, you might take a look. And so I called him. And my wife at the time, Lois, who was the church treasurer, said, if you don't hire him, go sleep in the other bed. And so we brought him down and did his sermon late one evening. And the five of us sat there. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And about 11:30 that night, Danzig did his usual thing, blew his top. And John has seen me do that a few times. Walked out, came home, told John, pack your bag, you're coming back here. We are. He's been a very, very close friend, a mentor, a teacher. We almost, quick story, I lived in Studio City on the side of a hill. In those days, we used to get Hawaiian rain. The rain would rain for 6, 7, 8 days. And the hill behind me started breathing and talking. And the water started flowing and the mud started flowing. And a whole bunch of folks from the church and my office came over to shovel rocks. And John was on the top of the driveway when the hill decided to move. We called him Flash Dober after that. And the man moves so fast in your life. I had a bad time about 22 years ago. I lost my wife. We had been both very, very active in the church. My wife was church treasurer for something like 15 years. I was church president when John was hired. The church was part of my social life. It was part of my personality. I was going to school. My mentor, my teacher there, helped me quite a bit, whether he realizes it or not, as I was going through master's and doctorate programs. I would come to church on Sunday morning, and he would give a sermon, and I would go home Sunday night and do my paperwork, type, 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 preparing my papers, because that's what you do when you do a master's and doctorate. And I stole words from his sermon Sunday. And so, one person calls me by my title. I don't tell many people that I have a PhD, but John calls me doctor, and I appreciate it. I thank him, my mentor, my teacher, my friend, and he may think he's leaving here, but I know his phone number.
that was great. The next person is a person I'm sorry to say I don't know very well. I did learn tonight that he was UU minister emeritus at Santa Monica Church, and so you folks probably know him better than I do. I'd like to welcome Reverend Ernie Pines.
I'm normally a rather modest person, but tonight I'm filled with pride because I feel I may have had some little role to play in causing John to enter the Unitarian Universalist ministry. He sat in my congregation and at least was not deterred or horrified at the thought of becoming a minister. His ministry has been exemplary and has filled me again with a sense that I may have accomplished more with helping John decide to go into the ministry than almost anything else. And it's a proud part of my heritage that I'm here tonight to welcome him into retirement, which I can assure you, John, is a good estate and one to be enjoyed. And to thank you for all the contributions that you have made, and they have been many. I should add one other thing. Of all the Unitarian ministers I know, and I know a great many of them, John is conspicuously the most brilliant, multilingual, and aware of all the Abrahamic cultures and tongues. And I'm so pleased, if I can say that I had some little to do with his sitting here at night. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Ernie. Well, I've mentioned that there would be some slides, and thanks to all of you and Helene and who knows who else sent the email, but we requested pictures. John told me some music that he wanted, and so we're going to see some history together, as well as a reflection of all of us. If I don't turn it off instead of pressing it. And Dale. Let's roll. There's lights on, too. Here, you have the lights on. Thank you.
You've got to be taught to eat next year. You've got to be taught from ear to ear. It's got to be from your ear to ear. You've got to be heavenly taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made. And people's skin is a different shade. You've got to be heavenly taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late. Before or six or seven or eight. To hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be heavenly taught. You've got to be heavenly taught.
But I can't help.
When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen. So they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incurable. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. And I can't get it into my head. I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is selling me a bill and telling me it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. Not this
scenes. The other ones were his selections. He's mentioned many times about carefully taught in South Pacific. I'm blanking on a cockeyed optimist. And the merrily, merrily row, row, row your boat is Judy told me that one time when John first came and they were leaving down at the bank, they didn't have a song to sing, and John said, why don't we just sing row, row, row your boat? So that's what I came up. Thanks, Judy, for that. Next, I'd like to invite up an old friend of John's from Studio City, and I think he was mentioned earlier, but John, Derek True. Derek True, please come on up and
I met John Dober in 1976 at his church in Studio City. It was immediately apparent that he's not only a genuinely good person, but a very gifted preacher. And thus began 38 years of friendship and trust between us. I soon became increasingly involved in church activity and leadership, including election to board president and many other positions. And along the way, I learned that John was not only a great pastoral minister, but a good friend and counselor. You here in Fullerton have certainly thought the same. Over the years, my family and friends leaned on John for counsel, guidance, and wisdom during good times and bad. He and I have literally shared life and death together, and he was always there when I needed him. Still. Now he's retiring from active full-time professional ministry. You will miss him, as I did when he left Studio City. But my message to you is this. John has loved and served you for many years. His caring and concern for you does not end today, or is it June 8th, John?
Yes.
He will always be with you, as you will always live in his heart. You are merely entering a new phase of life in this church to which you have given so much support, labor, love, and caring. John will always be a part of this beloved community. And I know he will always be part of my life and that of my family. Bless you all, and do not fear for the future. You will carry on.
Well, her full name is Miriam Kaufman von Ralty, and she is the temple administrator and director of religious education here at Temple Beth Ephah. But I know her as whenever I need to stop by the temple or see something, I push on the buzzer and I'm let in, and Miriam's there, and she's usually got some friends around, and they're talking or playing mahjong or guitar. Not during the daytime, just sitting around with your friends. So she is a person here at the temple, and I'd like to bring her up.
Secret is out. Mahjong Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Join us. We also play Mondays at 11:30 and Thursdays as well. I was on my way here this afternoon from my niece's graduation party, and I heard on the radio that there is a new alert from the oil companies. They are very concerned because they heard that John is no longer going to be traveling. They don't know what to do about the lack of revenue. And so we can expect the price of gas to be going up in the near future. So, but I can't imagine that schlep. And those of you who don't know the word schlep, look it up.
My people would know the
But actually, what I have to say is that on Tuesday afternoons, as the afternoon wears on, I start to get excited most Tuesdays because I know that around 3 or 4 o'clock, the buzzer is going to go off. and John is going to come in the door because he usually has appointments or he has phone calls to make or he's going to get ready for a book review or whatever program he's leading on Tuesday evenings for you. And he comes into my office. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, he thinks he's the only person in my life. And he shoots. And it makes my Tuesdays wonderful. He uses words that I quickly write down because I have to look them up later. And he always has pearls of wisdom, panini in Hebrew. And I adore our Tuesday afternoon schmoozes because he always has something enlightening to say. There's a special charisma and a special energy that he exudes. And I'm a little jealous that you have had 21 years of Sunday mornings and everything in between with him. I was a mere child when he started here. And since I refused to grow up as a Toys R Us kid, I will always be one of your followers, whether I'm a part of your congregation or not. I recently met a fellow clergy in the UU community.
That's right.
And when I mentioned that we share our facility with John, she glowed. And she had nothing but wonderful things to say about your congregation, which I consider our congregation, and, of course, John. It has been such a privilege to share our facility with you over the years. And, of course, we look forward to generations to come. But now that we are starting to program together, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock p.m., be here. It's a very important program. And, John, you will be missed, but like others have said, your cell phone number is in my phone, and we're going to find you. And, as we say, may you go from strength to strength. I know that retirement means you're going to take on additional classes at the AJU. You will find things to do with your time. And there's that wonderful fruit called honeydew, which I know Colleen will have many things for you to fill your hours. But may you enjoy your retirement, whatever that means. And please come back often to share in our adult education and other programs. That promise? Okay, that's great. Thank you all for being here with us as we celebrate a wonderful person and your congregation.
This is a nice person. Thank you so much. The next person I want to introduce, I can never spell her name correctly. Every time I try, I get it wrong. It's an I instead of a Y, and it's not the rental car company. I am talking about Judy Hers. She is our director of music here. She is the person I've been fathomable patience when it comes to teaching people to sing and do music together. I consider her the first lady of UUCF. She's the wife of Al Danzig, and I'm not sure which of these is more important than the other. Please come up.
Thank you, Chris. I do want to say that when I first started coming to UU Church here, I've been a member since I was 16, by the way. My father introduced me to Unitarianism, and it stuck. But Carolyn Champagne told me that we had a wonderful minister, and I had to come and check him out. That was probably 21 years ago, and 20 years ago, John officiated at the wedding, my wedding, and now to Al Danzig. And so I think we were maybe one of the first weddings that you performed.
Yeah.
Okay. And just in March, this past March, John officiated at the wedding of my son Doug and Allie to my new daughter-in-law. So, like bookends. Dear John, this letter was very hard for me to write. because although I had known the day would come when you'd retire, it just came too soon. From the beginning, you have wowed us, you have dazzled us with your extensive knowledge, vocabulary, and insight. I've never had to look up so many words, so many expressions in my life. This has really been an educational experience. You have always been so supportive to me. From my experience in attending the UUMN, Unitarian Universalist Musicians Network conferences, I learned that we have ministers who actually minimize the importance of music in the service, not you. On occasions when I couldn't decide which choral anthem to sing, you said, "Do both of them." How many times have you changed your sermon topic at the last minute because of late-breaking news that you wanted to share with our congregation? You stayed up into the wee small hours to rewrite your sermon. On Sunday, my concern was that the music I had so carefully chosen to complement your original topic wouldn't fit. I shouldn't have worried. You had the knack of making it fit and even working the lyrics into your new message. Page turn. I think they're stuck together. You joke about your singing, but John, you are welcome to sing with us anytime. I know how much you love the hymn "Let It Be a Dance" by Rick Maston, and I would like to give you this as a token of my admiration and appreciation for your contribution and dedication to us. So, through the good times and the bad times, too, thank you for the dance.
I'm feeling such like a bad guy tonight. All these hugs up here, and I'm breaking them up every time. Well, I'd like to welcome you. Pastor Daryl McGowan is the minister of First Christian Fullerton and a member of Fullerton Interfaith Ministerial Association and a colleague of John's. So, Pastor Daryl, where are you?
Oh, I met you earlier.
My introduction to John was at a Fullerton Interfaith Ministerial Association worship service. I believe it was a Thanksgiving service, actually. And John was one of the speakers, as was I. And John got up and spoke. And I came up next in the program. And after John finished and went to sit down, one of my minister colleagues leaned over and whispered in my ear, and to this day he swears he did not say this, but I'm convinced that he said to me, "Sucks to be you." And nobody ever wanted to follow John, so it was always the new guy who got planted in John. We've had a lot of fun sharing the podium at different services, and more than all the fun we've had, what's amazed me is John's ability to take big T truth and make it sound like the truth that was unique to each of our faith traditions. If we were Christians, we heard Christian truth. If we were Jews, we heard Jewish truth. If we were Muslims, we heard Islamic truth. It was just amazing to me that somebody could take the universal truths that are articulated in different ways in each of our traditions and make them available to us in his own language. In Christianity, we have the story of Pentecost when supposedly the disciples came and spoke and everybody heard them in their own tongue. That's the experience I've had with John. is when he speaks, everybody hears him in their own tongue. And they hear Big T truth. And they feel like they've received one of the greatest gifts that anyone's ever given. It's been a tremendous privilege to be a colleague, to be a friend, and to share lunch once in a while with John Dover. Love you.
Thank you, Pastor. The sense person comes home every Sunday with stories to share at our lunch table. And she gets to meet the youngest UUs, and she works with the teachers here and comes back with just amazing stories. And so she is the director of religious education here at UUCF, and she also happens to be my wife. So I would like to introduce Liz Eaton.
Me. I was actually supposed to be before Daryl, and my husband dissed me. Water. Jody, I need the tequila. So, my name is Liz Heaton, and first let me start out the first time. I came to this church because it actually was a year later than Chris. It followed a time that we had spent at Rose Drive Friends Church, which was a Christian church community, very, very Christian. And Chris dragged my sorry and my children's hands out of there one day after our oldest daughter was told that she could color if she believed in God. Chris dragged us here to UUCF, and I sat in on John's first sermon. And I think it's the one that you're doing tomorrow, which really isn't a sermon. It's called Interrogation Sunday. And John took questions from a basket, and I had never seen anything like this before. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I mean big R, big C. Both my parents are from Italy. So there is no religion. There's only Catholicism. I've never seen anything like this. I couldn't believe it. He said so many things that spoke to me from the time I was 12 years old when I knew I didn't belong in a Catholic or Christian church. And so we started coming. About 12 years ago, I was fortunate enough to become the director of religious education. And I can't believe it's been that long. I had to look and count Excel columns for the curriculum that we did each year to see how long I have had the privilege now of working with John. And so in these past 12 years, my relationship with John is much different than that of the members of the congregation. Primarily, that is because before he starts to speak, before he gives his sermon, I leave with the kids. I don't have the opportunity to listen to his sermon. But I do catch them on tape from now and then. So, when I first started working with John, I kind of treated him like I would have treated one of our priests when I was growing up in Buffalo, New York, at St. Barnabas Church. I mean, he was untouchable. I revered him. And I was very, very cautious about what I said and how I presented myself and, being very, very careful about when I asked for his help. And over the years, that has changed. John has been there for me, for my family, and most of all, my children and our children of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation. John will tell you that when he was hired on, and I get tired of listening to it, but it's why I had a job, is that he would not work for UUCF unless there was a religious education program. He has been our supporter, my supporter, for all these years. This is my children's home, from home, and John is their grandpa. So, a couple of years ago, the temple built this new building, and we started having our religious education classes there, and we had an office. And like Miriam, on Tuesdays, John would come by, and I got to know him better, and sometimes I felt like I really could go one-on-one with him with the joking stuff, like, you know, I could keep up. As everybody else said, yeah, the big words got me too. But I thought I had at least a little bit of an in. I felt like I got to know John better as a person and as a friend, and likewise. And John has gotten kind of used to me because I have a way of saying, okay, thank you, goodbye, and then always say, oh, wait a minute, just one more thing, John. And so before he leaves the office on Tuesdays, he will stop at the door and go away, and I will say just one more thing because I just have so much, I just want to learn so much still from him. And he waits, and he's patient, and he gives me that just one more thing. So, thank you, John. I love you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, I am very perplexed. I don't know if anybody else is. What is with the heart and the on the program, on the napkin rings, on everything that we're seeing tonight? I couldn't figure it out. I've never seen it on any of John's books or belongings, and so I thought about it, and yeah, if you look on your program, it's on there. And I thought, John has a secret tattoo. And John, you'll always be with me.
Okay, well, we're going to have a musical interview by one of our members here. He's I wrote on here, he's a camper, he's a house band member, he's a Brit, he's a husband, a father, a camper, a musician. I think he is now on the stewardship chair. Maybe. It's Roland? Or, so Roland is... was requested to sing Hallelujahs.
So the first time I came across this song, it's a movie Shrek. I didn't know it had history. I've learned a lot more about it since. So tonight, the strength of my gift to you is, in fact, your gift to me, because I've had to learn the song, and it's been an absolute pleasure. It's stunningly beautiful. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Roland. That's wonderful. This next person has been my latest email buddy all week long. We've been trading organizational notes to pull this event together. She was the former president of UCF. She's the chair of this evening's event. And she's the self-described peon. So, Marlise.
Able to cut and edit like John does during sermons, depending on what is said in the room, because a few things will be repeated, so about 15 minutes you can stop me. I'm joking. I need 20? Okay. I've been inspired by your preaching,
nice one.
Enriched and challenged by your intellect, nurtured by your wisdom, but most all, truly impressed by your pastoral care of our community. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the personal care you have given and what I have seen as a member of our caring committee. I will always remember you for your kindness, compassion, and acceptance of everyone. You have indeed practiced what you preached. I suspect that no clergy person has done this alone. Of course, there's training, theology school, internship, first congregations, second congregations, and then us here at UCF. I know clergy understand this, and people who work with clergy realize this at some point. But the spouse, partner, husband, wife, the significant other in their lives are vitally important. Our next speaker will be Helene Snyder-Dobra. John and Helene have been married for 23 years this June, the whole time that John has been our minister. I remember a particular time years ago as the chair of our caring committee, calling his house for the very first time to his chair to tell him there had been a death in our congregation. This was not an easy call to make. It's always difficult to call anyone at this time. I remember Helene offering condolences and kind, soft empathy. She said, call back. He's teaching right now and he'll want to hear this directly. The life partner in a minister's life makes all the difference on how they respond to their congregation. That person must understand the weight that a minister bears, the calls in the middle of the night, the racing off to hospitals at inopportune times, the not-so-quick trips to Fullerton. Helene has done all of this and more. Helene, we have a little gift from us to you, a small reminder of how much we appreciate your generosity and sharing John with us. It has indeed been a very, very special gift to us, and we appreciate your generosity. Please come forward. Well, I'm Helene, and some of you probably don't know me, certainly don't know me that well. And part of it is because of the schlep. But Miriam, if you had told me about the Maga groups. For Judy. This is very sweet of you all. And this event is amazing, beautiful. Liz, how come you know about some tattoo that I don't know about? Before I open this, I know a lot of you put a lot of work into this event, and I want to thank you for making it as beautiful as it is. I also want to thank all of you who are attending and wanting to share the evening with John, I mean, you really deserve it. I believe everyone here today counts themselves lucky to have you in their life, to have your wisdom and intelligence, your guidance and support, your humor, and I do too. You are all of these things to me, and to your friends and to your family, the
all know we can go to you for anything at any time. You'll always be there for us. You are, I assume everyone knows this word, a true wench. And everything that every single person has said who has come up here to speak, I probably know you better than any of them, I think. Every word was true. You have spoken of John in ways that totally describe one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. So, honey, reflect. Reflect back, remember, exhale. Yeah, I'm very happy for you, happy retirement, and I love you. And thank you so much, all of you.
This next person I would like to introduce is, he asked at one point if he could join our co-op group because they were moving into Fullerton. And I said, yeah. So they did, and they were part of the Schneider Heat Mendelson co-op group for a long time. And he was a long-term member of the men's group. He's a friend, and he's also a treasurer and board member at UUCF. So, where is Mike Mouser?
Minister Emeritus. The process of becoming Minister Emeritus is not a simple one. It's not automatically granted based upon years of long service, although, John, of course, you have that. It requires something much more. I guess if I had to put it in a word, it requires that the minister be beloved by the congregation. The actual process itself is that the board of directors makes a vote. That vote is not actually to confirm minister emeritus, it is to recommend to the congregation that everyone in the congregation vote upon granting minister emeritus. And John, I would like to tell you what we all already know, which is that both of those votes were unanimous. I was asked to present this to you tonight, and I'm proud to do so. Before doing so, though, I thought maybe I wanted something more to say, and so I looked up Minister Emeritus and that resource of all great knowledge, the internet and Wikipedia, and I learned a couple of things. The term was first used in 1750. It comes from the Latin "e," which means out of or from, and then "merer," if I'm pronouncing this correctly, which means to earn. So out of earnings comes out of earning and dedication comes the term Minister Emeritus. There is a female equivalent, Emerita, which I didn't know, and also a plural, Emeriti. It has remained throughout the years a mark of distinguished service, awarded to only a few. The Catholic Church recently granted Pope Benedict the 16th Pope Emeritus. And in the, that's right, it was the first. And in the Unitarian Church, we don't mind the Pope, but John, we are very grateful that we have ranked you. And that it's just really my pleasure to thank you, both personally and on behalf of our congregation and so many of us as individuals who you've touched in so many ways over these years. And I really don't know what else to say than thank you. This nice certificate is for you, granting the Minister Emeritus. And there is also a gift, a check in here for $5,000, which we hope that you and Helene will put to a nice vacation or some other celebratory event of your choosing.
Can you hear me without the mic? Well, you should know some things that are really obvious, which is you don't do this stuff alone. It's like speaking. It's a relationship. And I draw power and inspiration and sensitivity and humility from being in this relationship with all of you. Mike knows, and I've told him this to his face, that he has been my inspiration in many things. His caring for his mother opened up my eyes and my heart in terms of what is possible in terms of caring. I've learned so much from the people in this congregation. I've learned so much from my colleagues and my friends. Ernie has no idea how influential he was to me. He may have forgotten at times, and this is not self-serving. This is what they call in real religion, a come to Jesus moment, which was an expression I've never used before. But I dabbled in writing and got offered a job on a TV show. You may not know this, Daniel. And it paid somewhat better than Studio City. And I went and took Ernie out to lunch and I asked for his advice. And his advice was a seminar in counseling, because he asked only one question and didn't make any suggestions. He just said, if the money were equal, which would you do? Well, that was the meanest thing that I could. I couldn't live with myself with the answers I kept trying to make. But that taught me really so much about me, but also about counsel and being present and asking the right questions and not having a prescription. It was liberating to know that I didn't have to have the answers to people. I could just be stumbling along very much in the way that I sang. And that it will be forgiven. The central paradox of my life has been alluded to tonight with a lot of kind words about my words and my vocabulary, and I don't think that I have much of an unusual vocabulary, only in a bunch of different languages. But that's the paradox and that's the metaphor, because the very most important and profound experiences of my life cannot be put into words. They aren't about belief, they're about experience. And so when I take the most important experiences of love, of seeing a child born, of seeing a grandchild born, of feeling connected to the infinite when I'm out under the stars, I can't put it into words. Musicians put it into song, but you won't let me repeat that. Poets put it into rhyme, and I'm not very good at it. So I struggle with all of my words to try to share some simple truths that we all experience about how much we need each other, how important we are to each other, how important and beautiful this world is, and what a part we can play in making a difference in the lives of real people. I stumble, I fall, I stutter, I get inarticulate, but I am just filled with the words of that song, of Hallelujah. Hallelujah, very Unitarian, because we're comfortable saying Hallelujah, just as we're comfortable singing, Give Us a Home with a Buffalo Roam, but we don't want a home with a buffalo roam. But the theological words bother us. But if you put it in Latin, or in Hebrew, or in Greek, or in Arabic, well, that's totally cool. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. How? Halal. It's the root word praise in Hebrew. El, God. And we don't have to have a theology. It is that big X of wonder. Of wonder that the world exists, of wonder that we live, of celebration that we are, for our moments under the sun, able to live and laugh, and cry, and sing, and worship, and be present in the moment, and be present in love with each other. It's so simple and so inexpressible, and yet it is profound and real. And every one of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'll keep trying to use my words in classes, in writing. Sometimes I'll sing them, and if Helena overhears it, she'll quiet me or leave the room. And that's okay, because we all have our songs to sing. And we all have to find our own melody. And it's trial and error and its relationship. We have been in this thing together, growing a community and growing as individuals in breadth and in depth, and not apart from each other. As my beloved friend Derek said, we are a part of each other's hearts. And that will always be true. I was going to start this talk with a joke. You knew that. And it was going to be, now that I can, the end is in sight and I don't have any political obligations, I can tell you what I really feel. And what I really feel is I love you. That's what I really feel. And the poets can't define it. And I don't know what it is. But you and I all know. Real. Thank you. It has been a privilege to be with you, to grow with you, to have that rare intimacy of journeying with you in the good times and the bad times, and letting it be a dance, in singing the songs and saying the words and holding each other's hands and drying each other's tears as we have gone through the great occasions of life together. It is true intimacy. It is true love. And I thank you with thanks beyond words that I can only express as
John has a friend here tonight who is a cantor, and I'm going to probably blow it on the name. I read his Perrier angle. Green anchor? John, what is it?
Green anchor.
Okay, green anchor. Is she here?
Yes, she has a cantor.
Okay, the cantor.
She has a cantor.
Stand up, oh my God, where is it?
Sorry,
no counting.
Well, John, we have something very unique, you and I, because we share 5 grandchildren. And I bet you all didn't know that. but we are the grandparents of Jack and Nathan and William and Tully and Layla. And we are the other parents of Daniel and David. And we are, I don't know what we are, but we love you. So you all try and figure all that out. So that's my joke, so please laugh. I can't keep up with John, and I don't like it when he sings, and I hope you do not have any more opportunities to sing for me, but you can sing with me. I struggled over what blessing to do, because I don't know truly if I want to mention God in this place. I don't mention God very often myself, as a matter of fact. But there is a blessing that we all know because it is part of every religion. It's called the priestly benediction. And John has asked me if I would do the benediction for this wonderful gathering. You are a lucky man, John, and they have been very lucky. Hard to say. May God bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai Pana Be'lecha Bikunecha. May a godly spirit shine through you and through all of you as it is at this moment.
Peace.